So thank you, everybody, who's here listening in tonight. Tonight we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 7, entitled Knowledge of the Absolute, and today we're on text number 24. So 7:24. If you could please repeat after me. Now, again, what I do is I start off with the synonyms, if nobody minds. Fix it up a little bit here. So, please repeat. Avyaktam.
Avyaktam.
Tam.
Non-manifested.
Non-manifested.
Vyaktim.
Vyaktim.
Personality.
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 Apanam.
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 Achieved.
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 Manyate.
Maniate.
Think.
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 Mom.
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 Me.
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 Abhudaya.
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 Less intelligent.
Less
intelligent. Less intelligent.
I said that wrong. Less intelligent person. Excuse me.
Less intelligent person.
Param.
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 Supreme.
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 Bhavam.
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 Existence.
Existence.
Ajanantaha.
Ajanantaha.
Without knowing.
Without knowing.
Without knowing.
Mama.
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 My.
Mine.
My.
Avyayam.
Avyayam.
Imperishable.
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 Anuttamam.
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 The finest.
The finest.
The finest.
Okay, so let's try and understand what we're going to be chanting here. Sanskrit is divided into two lines, which are called padas. And the first line is avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyate mam avudaya. So vyakta means to manifest. Or specifically, what Krishna is referring to here is he's manifesting before us his personality, because a person means he has senses, a way to interact. And as soon as you have senses, that means that you have a relationship. You have relationship with others. Otherwise, what is it that you're going to perceive? So Krishna is saying he has his personality, and he's manifesting it before us out of his mercy, vyaktim. But avyaktim, there's also his unmanifested feature, or his impersonal feature. So the way Sanskrit works many times is it appears to us in English that it's backwards. So you actually start at the end of the line to figure out what it says. So it says that avyaktim, vyaktim apanam manyate mam avudaya. Those people that are less intelligent, abhudaya, they think that I've manifested this personality. It's been achieved by the non-manifested, by the avyaktam. So avyaktam, vyaktim, apanam, manyate, mam, avudaya. Those less intelligent people think that I've manifested my personality from the avyakta, and then they don't know, parang bhavam, they don't know my supreme nature, ajananto, mama avyayam. Avyayam means eternal, cannot be destroyed, eternally existing, or imperishable. Mam avyayam anuttamam. Just like anu is to follow, and then tama means darkness or something that goes down. So uttamam means the best, just the opposite. So you say anuttamam, it means supreme, nothing is greater than. So Krishna says that those who are less intelligent, they don't know my supreme nature, which is imperishable and supreme. So let's chant the Sanskrit to this. So please repeat after me. Avyaktam vyaktim apanam.
Avyaktam vyaktim apanam.
Manyate mam abhudayah.
Manyate mam abhudaya
Parang bhavam ajananto
Param
bhavam ajananto
Mam avyayam anuttamam
Mam avyayam anuttamam
Avyaktam vyaktim apanam
Avyaktam vyaktim apanam
Manyate mam abhudayah
Manyate mam abhudayah
Parang bhavam ajananto
Param
bhavam ajananto
Mama vyayam anuttamam
Mama
vyayam
anuttamam
Okay, so go ahead, Chan.
Avyaktam vyaktim apanam
Avyaktam vyaktim apanam
Manyate mam abhudayah
Manyate
mam abhudayah
Param bhavam ajananto
Param bhavam ajananto
Mama vyayam anuttamam
Mama
vyayam anuttamam Avyaktam vyaktim apanam
Avyaktam vyaktim apanam
Manyate mam abhudayah
Mamante mam abhudayah
Param bhavam ajananto
Param bhavam ajananto
Mama vyayam anuttamam
Mama vyayam anuttamam
Avyaktam vyaktim apanam
Avyaktam vyaktim apanam
Manyante mam abhudayah
Manyate mam abhudayah
Param bhavam ajananto
Param bhavam ajananto
Mama vyayam manutamam
Mama vyayam
anuttamam
Anybody else? Okay. The translation is, unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. Please repeat after me. Unintelligent men.
Unintelligent
men.
Who do not know me perfectly.
Who do not know me perfectly.
Think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna.
Think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna.
Was impersonal before. And now have assumed this personality.
And have now assumed this personality.
Due to their small knowledge.
They do not know my higher nature. Which is imperishable and supreme. Okay. So if everybody on Skype directly could mute themselves, whoever's on Skype. I actually can't see who's on Skype right now. As far as everybody on free conferencing, you know, you can mute yourself either if you're calling in through Skype by your Skype button, or you can always mute yourself by pressing *6 on your number pad on Skype. So either way will work. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and read the purport. By Srila Prabhupada. Those who are worshippers of the demigods have been described as less intelligent persons, and here the impersonalists are similarly described. Lord Krishna is, or rather in, his personal form, is here speaking before Arjuna, and still, due to ignorance, impersonalists argue that the Supreme Lord ultimately has no form. Yamunacharya, a great devotee of the Lord in the disciplic succession of Ramanujacharya, has written two very important verses in this connection. He says, Tvam Shila Rupa Charitai Paramang Parikshtai Satvena Satvikataya Prabalischa Shashvatrai Praktata Daiva Paramartha Vidang Mataischa Naivasura Prakritaya Prabhavanti Bodham. Translation. My dear Lord, devotees like Vyasadeva Narada know you to be the personality of Godhead by understanding different Vedic literatures. One can come to know your characteristics, your form, and your activities, and one can thus understand you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, the demons, are non-devotees, or the non-devotees, cannot understand you. They are unable to understand you, however expert such non-devotees may be in discussing Vedanta and the Upanishads and other Vedic literatures, it is not possible for them to understand the personality of Godhead. End quote. That's from the Stotra Ratna, verse 12. Or maybe it's chapter 12? Anyway, maybe it's verse 12. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the personality of Godhead cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedanta literature. Only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord can the personality of the Supreme be known. Therefore, in this verse, it is clearly stated that not only are the worshippers of the demigods less intelligent, but those non-devotees who are engaged in Vedanta and speculation on Vedic literature without any tinge of true Krishna consciousness, are also less intelligent. And for them, it is not possible to understand God's personal nature. Persons who are under the impression that the absolute truth is impersonal are described as abhudaya, which means those who do not know the ultimate feature of the absolute truth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that supreme realization begins from the impersonal Brahman and then rises to the localized supersoul. But the ultimate word in the absolute truth is the personality of Godhead. Modern impersonalists are still less intelligent, for they do not even follow their great predecessor, Shankaracharya, who has specifically stated that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Impersonalists, therefore, not knowing the Supreme Truth, think Krishna to be only the son of Devaki and Vasudeva, or a prince, or a powerful living entity. This is also condemned in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 11, avajananti mang mudha manusing tanum ashritam. Only the fools regard me as an ordinary person. The fact is that no one can understand Krishna without rendering devotional service and without developing Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavatam 10.14.29 confirmed this. Atapi te deva padam bhujam dvaya prasada le shanu rihita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya ekopi chirang vichinvan. Quote, my lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know him, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. End quote. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna or his form, quality, or name simply by mental speculation or by discussing Vedic literatures. One must understand him by devotional service. When one is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, beginning by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then only can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Non-devotee impersonalists think that Krishna has a body made of this material nature and that all of his activities, his form, and everything are Maya. These impersonalists are known as Mayavadis. They do not know the ultimate truth. The 20th verse clearly states, Kamais Tais Tire Hrita Jnana Prapadyantanya Devata. Those who are blinded by lusty desires surrender unto the different demigods. It is accepted that besides the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are demigods who have their different planets, and the Lord also has a planet. As stated in the 23rd verse, Devan Devo Yajo Yanti Madbhakta Yanti Mamapi. The worshippers of the demigods go to the different planets of the demigods, and those who are devotees of Lord Krishna go to the Krishna Loka planet. Although this is clearly stated, the foolish impersonalists still maintain that the Lord is formless and that these forms are impositions. From the study of the Gita, does it appear that the demigods and their abodes are impersonal? Clearly, neither the demigods nor Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are impersonal. They are all persons. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he has his own planet, and the demigods have theirs. Therefore, the monistic contention that ultimate truth is formless and that form is imposed does not hold true. It is clearly stated here that it is not imposed. From the Bhagavad Gita, we can clearly understand that the forms of the demigods and the form of the Supreme Lord are simultaneously existing, and that Lord Sri Krishna is Sat Chit Ananda, eternal blissful knowledge. The Vedas also confirm that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Ananda Maya Vyasat, or by nature full of blissful pleasure, and that he is a reservoir of unlimited auspicious qualities. And in the Gita, the Lord says that although he is Aja, unborn, he still appears. These are the facts that we should understand from the Bhagavad Gita. We can understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be impersonal. The imposition theory of the impersonalist monists is false as far as the statements of the Gita are concerned. It is clear herein that the Supreme Absolute Truth, Lord Krishna, has both form and personality. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. see. So, avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyate mam abhudaya parang bhavam ajananto mam avyayam anuttamam. Unintelligent man, who do not know me perfectly, think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is impersonal and supreme. Before I became a Krishna Bhakta, I was contaminated by Mayavad philosophy. I used to study the works of Baba Ram Das and other impersonalists, Yogi Bhajan, others, anyway, a whole litany of impersonalists. Mostly the conclusions they gave were based on speculations, and they didn't give scriptural references. That's what I found. And also to this day, I find that impersonalists just shoot things from the hip without taking the authority of the Vedas. But impersonalists, Mayavadis, at least used to be. If you come across, you know, people like Professor Bharati, who Hridayananda Maharaj came across, and those are the guys that, you know, they'll try and screw some meaning out of the Sanskrit. But it's just hard to imagine how someone reading this verse could possibly screw out another meaning. I mean, Krishna is saying, manyate mam abhudaya, they are less intelligent. They're actually stupid. They don't understand. Their knowledge has been stolen. Just like in the previous verse, it said, kamashtaisthaya hritagana, those that worship the demigods are lost of their intelligence. So similarly here, it says, manyate, so mana is the mind, and ante means the end. So you say manyate, that means their conclusion is abhudaya, less intelligent, when they think that avyaktim vyaktim apanam, that I'm actually impersonal, but I've assumed this personality. They're abhudaya, stupid. So this we come across when we speak to Mayavadi philosophers. There was some time we were spending on one blog where spiritual type people present different types of ideas, and you find there are so many misconceptions because of the Mayavad contamination, the Mayavad understanding. And the unique thing about both this blog that we were recently on, my wife and I, along with impersonalists that I've just come in contact with over the years since I've been a devotee, is that they concoct their own ideas without any reference. They speculate. They think, actually, that you should not accept authority. We were just hearing this morning about the character of Maharaj Pariksha, that he respected his elders that were learned. He accepted their authority. We have the authority of Shastra and Sadhus. And luckily, we have the association and the instruction of our guru, the bona fide spiritual master. So guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. These are our authorities, and that's how we learn what the real position of the personality of Godhead is. Whereas Mayavad philosophers are those contaminated by Mayavad philosophy. They accept no one's authority. They may quote this person and that person, whatever suits them, but they become proud to say that they accept no one as supreme authority other than their own minds. So this is manyate mam abhudaya, less intelligent. Now, why do people do this? That's described much earlier in the Bhagavad Gita. I think that was in the fourth chapter we came across this, at the beginning of the fourth chapter. Anyway, the verse is, Vitaraga Baya Krodha Man Manubam Upashuta Bahavo Gyana Tapasa Puta Madbhavam Agata. That many, many persons have become purified by knowledge of me in the past. So don't worry, just be free from all these stumbling blocks. And he lists those, Vita, Raga, Baya, Krodha, which means Raga is attachment, and Krodha is angry. You know, you become so frustrated with so many different philosophies, you think that none of them are correct. That we have found with Mayavada philosophers. They become so angry they don't want to accept any authority. And Baya means fear. Fearful about our own spiritual existence because we've had such bad experience in this world. We're afraid of personality, relationships. We're afraid of having senses because these present senses, present relationships, and personal interactions are all painful. So we want to destroy our personality, or we're fearful of what the spiritual exchanges of relationship actually are. So Krishna says, get rid of these. Vita raga baya krodha. You become puta madbhava magata. You will attain my nature by becoming purified of me. So it's just like if we want to learn how to swim, I believe somebody mentioned this more or less recently, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta once said something to this effect, that if you want to learn to swim, you're never going to be able to learn it from a manual. You have to actually get in the water. So if we want to learn how to swim, we can take instruction from the proper teacher. They can show us the moves. We can learn something about the basic form of swimming from reading the manual. But until we actually get in the water and try it ourselves, we're not going to understand what it is to swim. Once we get in the water, then we gain faith. So the first thing that has to be done is you have to have the desire to swim. That's a preliminary desire or preliminary faith that this is what you want to do. You've seen you know that many, many other people have done this, so therefore I should be able to do this. So you want to achieve something, and that's achieved through some preliminary desire and faith, and then developing your trust. Trust comes from following directions. From following the directions and seeing the positive result, then we gain greater and greater faith. So we have our authorities that we follow, Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, and by executing devotional service, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra without offense, as Srila Prabhupada stated in the purport here, that it begins with the chanting of Hare Krishna, then as we execute this, then our faith will gradually develop. Prabhupada mentions in the purport about in the Brahma Samhita, it's also stated that one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead without getting his grace. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadeva Kridyeshu Vilokayanti Yang Shama Sundaram Achincha Guna Sarupam. Achincha means he's inconceivable. But if we have Premanjana, we have the salve of love covering our eyes, not covering, or uncovering our eyes, then we'll be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his grace. So there's this nice verse that Srila Prabhupada is quoting from the Stotra Ratna of Sri Yamunacharya. Stotra means a prayer, and Ratna means a jewel. So Stotra Ratna is a jewel of all prayers. This actually is quoted in, requoted. I just lost everything. How come? No, I didn't. Sorry. It's okay. All right, here we go. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 3, verse 87. And it's the same verse of Yamunacharya, who was the spiritual master of Ramanujacharya. What was his name before he got the title Yamunacharya? It was Alamba, Alamdar. Anyway, the conqueror. So the Yamunacharya, he says, Tvam Shila Rupa Charita, that through your form, by your acts, by your quality, you can be known. But those that are less intelligent, well, the verse is quoted here, or translated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as, O my Lord, those influenced by demoniac principles cannot realize you, although you are clearly the supreme by dint of your exalted activities, forms, character, and uncommon power, which are confirmed by all the revealed scriptures in the quality of goodness and the celebrated transcendentalists in the divine nature. So Prabhupada translates a little bit different here, you know, that devotees like Vyasa, Narada know you, etc., by your qualities, your form, activities. But those in the mode of passion ignorance cannot. So the same thing, you know, he's saying in a different way here, that only by being graced by the Lord and his devotee will can Krishna be known. Those that are less intelligent in the modes of passion and ignorance, not guided by the Vedic literatures in the mode of goodness, or the great devotees of the Lord, they cannot know the Lord. Just one moment. Oh, and then there's this other verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes from the 10th canto, chapter 14, verse 29, which very often Srila Prabhupada quotes it. I do not have it memorized, but I can certainly recognize it because Prabhupada quotes it so often. Atapi te deva pujam pujam vaya, that your two lotus feet can be attained by prasada lesha. Lesha, which I read about before, it has it means a very, very small, tiny, insignificant portion. It's in relationship to the units of time, alesha, but it also refers to size or something just very small. So he said prasada lesha. If one gets a little tiny speck of mercy, if he's favored by that speck of mercy, and that comes through the association of devotees, if one achieves that, then he can understand the personality of Godhead. It's translated like this in Srimad Bhagavatam. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of your mercy, of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personalities. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. So that's the point, that we can study the Vedas, but we can speculate upon them, but unless we're graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his devotees, we can never really understand. So I'm going to go ahead and stop here. There's actually a lot in this purport, very, very important verse. I have to really apologize. I did not get a chance to really study this today, so forgive me. But anyway, we've spoken for more or less half hour, 40 minutes. So the verse again is, Avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyate mam abudaya. Parang bhavam ajanato mamavyayam anuttamam. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. And if I could just say one last thing before I stop here. Again, to put this in context, at the end of the last chapter, chapter 6, Krishna says that of all the yogis, he went through the different types of sacrifices, all the different types of yogic meditation in summary, and then he said, of all yogis, he who worships me in trance of loving service is the highest of all. And then throughout this chapter, he explained how to meditate upon him, And now he's explaining in a kind of a negative way those who cannot understand him. So this is how you do it. This is how you understand me. And now he's saying, and this will block you if you worship the demigods or if you think that the impersonal Brahman is greater than me. Okay, so that's it for me tonight. If there's any comments or if you have any questions, I can try my best to try and answer. But why don't you go ahead? I never muted anybody on free conferencing, so you can just go ahead and speak or on Skype. Go ahead. Anybody?
Hi, Ramananda Prabhu. Thank you. Very nice class. Yeah. You know, Sri Prabhupada says that when one is fully, I'm reading from the purport, right? He says one is fully engage in Krishna consciousness, beginning by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then only can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, I've heard that a lot of impersonalists, or as part of their program, their sadhana, they regularly chant the holy names part of their program. So, it would seem that the consciousness in which the holy names are chanted is also very important, as in if they have a preconceived notion about what is supreme, it would appear that even by chanting, that revelation of the personality is still not revealed. I was wondering when you dabbled in impersonalism, whether you came across mantra meditation, and also whether you have anything to say about this.
Prabhupada would quote this verse often about milk touched by the lip of a serpent, and I've never memorized it. Anyway, milk touched by the lips of a serpent, even though milk is very nice, nutritious, miracle food, but as soon as it's just touched by the tongue of a serpent, then it becomes poisonous. So similarly, if we hear from an impersonalist, even if they say, chant Hare Krishna, chant Bhaja Govinda. Especially nowadays, you find that kirtan is getting more and more popular. And these groups, they're impersonalists. On the Big Island here, well, I'm in California, but anyway, over where I live, on the Big Island, on the other side of the island in Kona, there's a whole group of people. It's kind of a yuppie community, you know, upper class. And there's a lot of spiritual groups over there, and they're really into kirtan. And they'll get together and chant, you know, with seeming real devotion. But when you talk to them, they have an impersonal understanding. They think that, okay, yeah, Krishna, you learn to love Krishna, but ultimately you become Krishna. We're all God. So because they have a contaminated understanding, their chanting is offensive. So we should not hear their chanting. And anyone that they instruct also is going to be contaminated, just like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. So even though the sound vibration may appear to be the same, it's certainly not. But even then, I want to say one thing. That, like, for instance, we came in contact with Shiva Ram Swami's chanting kirtan, and it's amazing. When you just listen to his kirtans, you're just enlivened. You just don't get tired of listening to it. You feel so uplifted. You know, I'm kind of sentimental myself anyway. So when I listen to him, you know, I almost come to the point of tears just listening to him chanting with such devotion. Now, such devotion and such emotions are real, and they come about by hearing the pure name chanted by someone who has genuine devotion. The impersonalist may imitate such chanting, but there's no effect there, or the effect is detrimental. So one should be avoided. In one sense, it's kind of nice. There's people are becoming interested in bhajan, but if you hear it from a contaminated person, then that's polluting, offensive.
Yes. Thank you for that.
yes, my understanding of it.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to really study this verse more. It's a very, very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It's one of those that we should memorize because it really defeats Mayavad philosophy. You know, just so clear there. How are they going to say anything different about it? Like,
it's also nice. Sorry, I'm going to please go ahead.
Most of the people that I come in contact with, they're contaminated by Mayavadi philosophy. They do not have a scriptural backing. They're just speculating like crazy. So if you can come up with a few verses like this and we're well familiar with the Bhagavad Gita, you can really put them in their place. Whether they accept or not is another story, but at least we can defeat them soundly, stop them in their tracks.
I was just about to say, it's also nice the way you try to unpack the Sanskrit for us. Did you study a little bit of Sanskrit grammar, as in how it works? I mean,
no, never. No, it's just because we study the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam all the time, every day, so you just kind of catch on. No, never did. I just learned little pieces here and there. I'd like to one day, but there's this one devotee, she's a scholar. She was visiting us, and she's got a PhD, or she was a PhD candidate at the time, but I think she has a PhD now. Anyway, she was trying to teach me Devanagari, how to read Sanskrit and like that. And she gave up after a little while. One day I'd like to, but not soon. But at least, you know, we study this all the time. You can pick up on words, and I mean, that's the main thing.
Yes, yeah. Because I didn't realize that, like you said right at the beginning, that the slokas or the verses are split into two. You said it's called padam or something.
Padam.
Padas is in two parts.
Yeah, it's two lines of Sanskrit, even though for us it's broken into four, but it's actually just two lines, two padas per verse.
Two padas.
Yeah.
I see.
Okay, well, thank you, Prabhu, very much for kindly listening. Tomorrow we have Madan Mohan giving his return, the return debut, giving Bhagavatam class tomorrow morning. And also, Mother Urmila is going to again be giving on Saturday morning the third part of her continuing education, how to give a class. A good class, which I don't know about anybody else, but I really, really appreciate very much. So I'm looking forward to that. This part is going to be about identifying the needs of your audience and how to fulfill them. Because instead of just like talking over somebody's head or something irrelevant, you want to be able to focus in on people's needs and talk to those needs. So to take the Shastra and apply it in such a way that people can actually use it. Because if they can use it, then they're going to remember it and be able to imbibe it in their lives. So anyway, I'm looking forward to that. So that's on Saturday morning or evening for some of you.
Thank you, Ramananda.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so I guess that's it. Thank you, Prabhu, for your attention.
Hi.
All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai.